Good morning. Praise the Lord. You know, as individuals, we sometimes face physical weeks of sickness, and I kind of dealt with that this week. And you know, as cruddy as you feel, there's still just the presence of God that's with you, and it seems to remove the weight of the problem or the weight of the pain. So right now we have an opportunity. If you've had a bad week, bad month, bad year, bad life, we can enter into God's presence. And it says that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. There's life evermore. And so what we do to enter in the presence of God is enter in by faith. It's not something that you do just when you start singing a song. It's something that your heart has to connect with. Say, Lord, I'm choosing for me to now center on you and focus on you instead of all my problems, instead of how I feel, instead of how the circumstances in life are going. I'm choosing now to set my heart and my life on you, my attention on you. So, Lord, right now we just choose to set our affections, to set our hearts, to set our lives on you. Lord, you are the giver of life. You have given all of us, Lord, your life. And Lord, I just thank you for that life and that life abundantly that lives in us. That abundant life, Lord, that goes beyond any physical frailty or any difficulty, Lord. That abundant life that is the overcoming life, Lord, that helps us, Lord, to connect our faith, Lord, and to be overcomers. Lord, we just thank you, God, right now for your presence that's here. Lord, we've come here, Lord. We brought you here, Lord. So you are here, Lord, in our midst, Lord, because we are in your presence, Lord. Not just now, Lord, but when we're at home, anytime we think of you, Lord, we're in your presence. So, Lord, we choose to let your presence do in our lives today what you need to do. Change our hearts, change our lives, Lord. Change our mindsets, Lord. Change our ways of thinking, Lord, that don't align with who you've created us to be. Help us, Lord, to become everything you so desire. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul, while we're here. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. keep declaring this over your lives. I think the lie that we can begin to believe is that God is good only in sometimes, forgetting that God is good all the time. It's not just a pretty little saying we say because it sounds good in a song, but this is the truth, the gospel truth, that we serve a good, good God. In every circumstance, whether it be death, whether it be life, whether it be losing a job, whether it be gaining income, whether it be broken relationships, we still serve a good God. That truth never changes. So I want to keep singing this for a little bit longer. And I feel like some of you, God just wants to minister today and remind you of how good He is.
You are good, good.
All of So he started reading the word of the day, and it was talking about the 23rd Psalm. But it wasn't talking about the first part, God is my shepherd. We hear about that all the time. The word of the day was talking about the second part of that psalm, where God lays a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He lays a table before us in the presence of adversity. We have a bounty laid before us to choose from in the presence of adversity. It is our choice to choose from that bounty. and to feast and to know that he loves us and to praise him in spite of the adversity. We praise him when it's easy, but we don't praise him when it's hard. So think about where you're at today and look for the blessings God has for you, because that's when you'll see them. Because it also says, he anoints my head with oil. And I have never realized that anointing means unmerited favor. He has given you unmerited favor. You are his favored ones. It doesn't matter if you're 18, 19, 20. It doesn't matter if you're 60. It doesn't matter if you're 80. It doesn't matter if you're 4 or 5. You are his child, and he has anointed you, and he has put a bounty before you to choose from in the good and in the hard. So when we sing how he loves us, sing it. No, he loves you.
More this morning. Caden just getting full of it right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anointing is really powerful up here right now. I just invite you, if you need more, come on now. Don't be shy. Get up here. The power of God is flowing. Hallelujah. at these young people up here, so hungry for Jesus.
Into your image.
Hallelujah. This is just a beginning today. It's just a warm-up, I feel, for what God really wants to do today. So be hungry for that. Be open for that. Don't think that that prayer time's over. I missed out. God is just beginning. He's just starting. So keep your heart open and hungry for more of who He is. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this time. We just dedicate it and expect more because you want more for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Grab a cup of coffee, hug a neck, and we will meet back here.
Praise the Lord. Am I doing the transition? I mean the declaration. You good to do it, Caden? All right. Which one you want to do? The city. Thank you.
Okay, so we are going to do our declaration over the city. You guys know how this goes. We love our city and we want to speak good things over it. So let's stand, please. Let's do this in cadence. All right, on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the amazing worship service that we had just now. And I just declare that that would just be a precursor to what's going to happen today, that our hearts would continue to be open and in that worship state, and we would have that worship mindset as we listen to the amazing word that Pastor Mike has prepared for us today. So we just thank you so much for all this, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So the yard sale, it's still happening. As always, what we've been announcing the last few weeks, if you have stuff to donate, which thank you for those who have already donated, we really appreciate it. Continue to reach out to Nancy, that's her number up there, and let us know if you have stuff for us to pick up and whatnot. And we're just really excited to see people's generosity. Last year, we made, I think around $1,000 from, the community we were in at that point. And so just believing for God to continue to help us raise money. And then the other thing, not a slide for it, but I wanted to get it on your radar for the guys. The 12th, which is a Friday, July 12th, we're doing our second men's barbecue. And so put it in your calendar. We'll be meeting here at the church downstairs. And then last thing is offering. We just thank you guys for continuing to giving to the house and sowing into what God's doing here at One Life Family Worship. And so you can give online as always, or we have the box here in the box in the back, and we appreciate it.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. So we were having a staff meeting this week, and what ended up happening is we were kind of communicating about some ideas. And Nancy was being very passionate about something, and I basically just brought in a phrase that I remembered from a scripture. And once I did that, I realized that, oh Lord, you want me to share on this, you want me to communicate on this on Sunday. So that is what I'm doing right now. I'm communicating on what the Lord put on my heart at that moment. And it's a scripture that a lot of people know. And the way that I'm going to take this is not necessarily the way that everybody thinks of this scripture. So let's start off with the message title. It's called Finding the Faith. And if I was to ask all of you what you would probably think of how you would frame a message based on just that title, we'd probably come up with something different, because we all have an idea of what it means to find faith, what it means to develop faith in our life. But that's not where this message is going. So let's start in Luke 18, 1 through 8. This is Jesus speaking to his disciple. And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So there's a judge in this city, and he's pretty much a prideful, selfish, doesn't really care about anybody judge. And this widow has an issue, and she's coming to this judge saying, I need you to get me results from my adversary. Somebody's done something to her. We don't know all the details, but she's coming to him and asking for this request. And it says, and he would not for a while. So what's that mean? It sounds like for some period of time, he would not give her her request. But it says, but afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, that's pretty amazing. I don't fear God and I do not regard man. That's a pretty bold statement. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So this widow probably was at his door of court every single morning asking the same request. Will you please get me my justice that I need from my adversary? And finally, because of her pestering, he gives her what she wants. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now we're starting to focus in on the thought. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? This is saying that God is going to give us what we request of him, especially for those who are crying out day and night, those who have a heart of desperation. If this unjust judge who does not fear God or regard man gives this widow, because of her persistence, what she needs, and that's justice, isn't God going to take care of us? Amen.
So good.
Verse 8, though. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Finding the faith. So this isn't about you finding the faith. This is about Christ coming back when he returns. Many of us believe that that could be any moment. The disciples of this day, they eventually were thinking that it could be any moment. But we're kind of in the last of days. Most people believe that. So he could be coming back anytime. And when he comes back, he's looking for faith.
Yep.
He's going to be searching for faith on the earth. And he has that statement that is kind of hurtful. Will he find faith on the earth? Will there be people like this widow who are persistently believing that God's going to do something? So let's look at it from a couple different translations. I love this one. This is the message. It says, I assure you he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? Persistent faith. So it's not faith that you just have for one day.
Yeah.
It's not faith that you just receive Jesus and you're walking with him, you know, for a while, and you kind of get bored with it, or you get like, oh, this is kind of monotonous, and you get into a rut where you're not receiving his love like we were being encouraged to do today, and realize that no matter what your circumstances look like, you're loved. But it says, that persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? Amplified says it this way, I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. That's speaking of us. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistent faith, persistent in faith on the earth? So in other words, it's a continuance of faith. It's a due diligence. It's continuing in the faith that he's looking for on the earth. This is the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, and this is just the, it's actually much bigger than this, but this is just the parts that are like his translation. He says, and I am now telling you that he will proceed quickly, making the situation right concerning them. But more than this, at the coming of the Son of Man, will he really continue finding trust upon the land? That's what really faith is. It's trusting in God. It's not trusting in your own abilities. It's not trusting in your own strength. It's not trusting in your own wisdom. It's trusting in God. It's not letting the circumstances govern how you see your circumstances. It's letting your trust in God see how you see the circumstances. There was a great story in the Old Testament, and one of the prophets is having, I don't know how many thousand, come to his home because they're wanting him to quit telling the king what the other king's doing in his bedroom. And so he's basically communicating, this king's about to go over here, so you probably don't want to go there because he's going to trap you, and so just stay away. And so this army has been sent to this prophet Elisha, and he's saying, We're coming, and we're gonna make you stop this. And his servant is looking at this and going, oh, what are we gonna do? And Elisha had trust. He had confidence. He had so much confidence in God that I don't think he needed to see what he allows his servant to see. But he tells asks God, open his eyes. And when he opens his eyes, he sees the hills covered with the angels of God. Wow. I don't think the prophet needed to see that. I think he trusted God enough that he said, hey, why don't you show him what's going on? Wow. We often think, oh, Elisha must have saw that. But I don't think he needed to see that. I think he knew his God so well that he trusted. But will Jesus continue finding trust upon the land? And this is the CLV. I am saying to you that he will be doing the avenging of them swiftly. Moreover, consequently, at the coming of the Son of Mankind, will he be finding the faith on the earth? What is this saying? God is going to be coming back, and he is looking to see if he's going to find people that are really believing, that are really trusting in him. To me, this is a challenge for our day. This is telling me that we need to take serious our Christianity. We need to not just go and label on our name Christian, but we need to make sure that it's something inward that is transforming and changing us and is living, and we're living it through. It's coming from the inside out, in other words. So here's a scripture kind of from the Old Testament, kind of talks about this idea of God searching. This is 2 Chronicles 16, 8 and 9. This is the New Living Translation. This is about King Asa in his older years. And King Asa was a good king for a while. But what he ended up doing is he started trusting in his own ability. He started trusting in other kings. He started trusting in other nations and not God. And so what ends up happening is now he's facing a situation again where armies are coming. So he's, instead of calling to God, come help me, he's now asking other nations to come and help him. And he's paying them. But the prophet comes and says, don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and Libyans and their vast army with all of their chariots and charioteers? This is from the past now. And at that time, you relied on the Lord. In other words, he trusted in God. You relied on God. And he handed them over to you. In other words, in the past, Asa, you were facing something much worse than this, and I took care of it. And it says here, the key, the eyes of the Lord
Asa, search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, continually in the faith, continuing, remaining persistent in faith. The hearts of those kind of people, God is searching the whole earth. Now, this is the Old Testament. I believe how much more this day? Right?
Yeah.
And then he says, what a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. In other words, I'm not going to be able to fight the battles for you, Asa. You're going to have to do them yourself. Here's a scripture from Proverbs that kind of talks a little bit about this idea of finding a faithful person. Many people profess their loyalty, but a faithful person who can find. You know, there's a lot of times we hear people say, you know, there's you have a need, you know, and you put it out to a few of your friends and you say, hey, can you guys help me do this tomorrow? And they're, yeah, I'll be there, you know. And you know, and you're expecting, you know, your close bros to be there, and you got me. And it's like, and you know, the person that shows up on this particular day, it's like, wow, I didn't expect you to come, but he was a faithful person.
Yeah.
You guys ever ran into that? You know, someone maybe that, you know, you're sharing a story and, you know, you don't want everybody to know about it, but, you know, you're kind of keeping it somewhat confidential, and your other friends let people know what's going on, but this person remained faithful, and you're like, I didn't expect them to remain faithful. And it's like, a faithful person is a person that I believe we can trust, and God can entrust us with our lives and with the lives of others. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is having like burden for those people, because he went there, he lived with them, he taught them, he created the whole church of Thessalonica, and now he's been away for a while, and so he's writing them a letter. He says, so when we could not bear it no longer, could say I, but he's saying that him and his brethren, we decided to stay on in Athens alone. We sent Timothy, our brother and fellow worker for God in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen you and encourage you about your faith, so that no one would be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For in fact, when we were with you, we were telling you in advance that we would suffer affliction, and so it has happened, as you well know. So this is about afflictions, trials, what they had in the New Testament as far as their trials are nothing. Ours are nothing compared to theirs. They were literally persecuted all the time for their faith. And so Paul sent Timothy, and he says here, so when I could bear it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter had somehow tempted you and our toil had proven useless. In other words, all the work I spent in time I spent with you, living with you, teaching you, it was for naught. And then the good news is, but now Timothy has come to us from you and given us the good news of your faith and love, and that you always think of us with affection and long to see us just as we also long to see you. But the idea is that Paul wanted to know what about their faith. He wanted to find out, how is their faith doing? Have you ever come across a brother or sister or somebody you haven't seen for a while, and you can kind of tell by their demeanor that maybe things haven't gone really well in their lives, and maybe they're a little heavy of heart, and they've been experiencing some things, and you want to know, how's your faith doing? You don't always ask them that, but you're like, how's it going, you know? And then maybe you'll say, you know, you start asking, hey, have you been able to read your Bible? I mean, you're trying to get at something to say, you know, because it's kind of bold to say, how's your faith? You know, that's like, whoa, is that your business? I don't know if that's your business. So, but no, it's like you start to sense there's something going on, and you want to make sure they're okay. I believe Jesus is wanting that for us. He wants to know if our faith is strong. He wants to know if we're doing good. It's amazing, because he lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Yet when he returns, he's looking for a people that aren't just having God live in them, but is it something that's happening in them? Is it that they've let him reside in them in such a way that now they don't live, it's Christ living in them. Yeah. And that Christ living in them is so powerful that it is faith. 2 Corinthians, This is kind of now where we have to start saying, okay, Pastor, I'm seeing that we gotta know that Jesus is going to be searching for those that are in the faith when he comes. So this means I believe that we need to think about being in the faith. That it's not something we just take for granted. It's not something we just say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Oh yes, I read my Bible, you know. Oh yes, I pray. No, I think it's more than that. Let's listen to this. Put yourselves to the test to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize regarding yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? I just communicated that. Unless indeed you fail the test. And I hope that you will realize that we have not failed the test. I love that part. Even though he's challenging them, he says, I hope you realize that we haven't failed the test. The only reason that we're going to fail this test of walking in faith is if we just start disregarding what God's done for us. If we just start taking for granted that we're saved. I mean, I think if most of us would just start thinking on a daily basis, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that I have done or maybe will do in the future. You still choose to, and have chosen to save me. It says that I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. So God chose us. And when he chose us, he didn't choose us just to, you know, say that he added another number on his list. He chose us to save us. And saving isn't just, you know, I'm not going to go to hell someday. Saving is the ability for us to be saved from being old, decrepit sinners to where we have power in us to live a holy life. But we're also saved to know him. We're saved to have relationship with him and the Father. We're saved to have a transformed life to where the old man that we once were is now being changed from glory to glory to where we are a full new creation. It says that we're new creations, but there's a process of that. And that's part of staying in the faith. As you stay in the faith, guess what? You'll be transformed from glory to glory. And I hope that you will realize that you have not failed the test. You haven't failed the test. You're here today. I believe that those that are seeking God, that those are reading their Bible, those that are looking to God in all the chaos, that you haven't failed the test. But still, be one that continues to say, Lord, check me out. Make sure I'm not fooling myself and I don't believe it, as the song says. Make sure that I'm staying in the way. Speaking of that, here's a good prayer to pray. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me. Search me, O God. Search me and see if you find faith in me, Lord. Search me, Lord. See if my heart is in the right place. David says it this way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, check me out, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me. That's kind of a bold prayer. When you think about it, you're being very, very introspective. Most of us don't like doing that. I mean, there's some of us that don't even like looking in the mirror. It's like, I don't want to look in the mirror. Unless you only got to get, you know, straightened up a little bit. Some of us love looking in the mirror, and that's a different story. But anyway, the idea here is that you're asking God to examine you. You're asking God to check out my heart. See if I'm in the faith, Lord. See if I'm where I need to be as your child. Or am I just taking it for granted of everything that you've accomplished for me? You know, and I remind myself of this because it is a challenging scripture, but when the Pharisees and Sadducees and Jews were coming to John the Baptist to be baptized, he said, whoa, who told you guys to come? And he says, if you do get baptized me by being, at least bear fruits worthy of this baptism of repentance. In other words, produce something with this action that you're doing. You know, and we are able to produce something. You know why? Because God's at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God working in you if you let him work. Amen. The ones that aren't producing anything right now aren't letting God work in them. I mean, he still may be working the surface, but until they connect with that work that he's doing, it remains dormant. Yeah. All right. I love this. Matter of fact, I'm inspired to preach a message after rereading this. So I may not tell you what the title is, but you guys can probably figure it out. Hebrews 11:5-6. This is the faith chapter. Go and read Hebrews 11 if you ever want to be encouraged about the believers that were in the Old Testament and how they believed God and how he did miraculous things. Then towards the end of that chapter, how those believed God, and he didn't always deliver them, but they still believed. They still were in faith. Yeah. That's what we were talking about earlier, weren't we? Doesn't matter about your circumstances. It's God is good. Yep. You know, what Eric said is a real key, and we all need to know this. Our circumstances do not determine God's goodness. Our situation does not determine God's goodness. Our frame of mind should not determine God's goodness. Our personal setbacks, our failures should not determine God's goodness. What determines God's goodness? God alone. And he is good. Says there's no shadow or turning in him. He is good. And that's part of being able to be in faith. You believe that. You choose to trust in that truth. God said he's good. And even though everything in my life says that he's not good right now, I'm still going to believe that he's good. And you know what? I believe that as long as you continue to believe that, you will see the goodness of God. You may not see it in the land of the living. What does that mean? Well, it means that you may believe that to your death. But you know what? Eventually, you're going to see the goodness of God. Yeah. I pray that you all see it much sooner than that. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay, so Enoch pleased God. He had this supernatural transformation where he went from being a physical being to being a spiritual being. I don't know how that all worked out. Only one other person, Elijah, was like him. And he went from being physical being to someone of the spirit. But without faith, in other words, remember, Jesus is going to be coming, returning, and he's going to be searching to try to find faith. So without faith, when we're without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this, I like to think kind of like the Hebrewic. So it's kind of, you can do this kind of reverse thinking as Hebrewic. So if without faith, it's impossible to please God. With faith, we please God, right? And so if we're thinking that we're in faith and we're pleasing him, we're out of faith and we're not pleasing him, what is it that we're looking for in our lives when we're out of faith from God? There's not much to look for. There's a lot of us who have, and I've experienced it, where it seems like God's not doing anything, God's not moving, God's not, and it is it him or is it me? Wow. Sometimes it's been me. Yeah. Sometimes I haven't been positioned where I need to be. Doesn't mean that he's not in my life. Doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. Doesn't mean that he's not working in my life. But it's like things like drew to a standstill. And it was me. It was me out of that position of faith. Out of that position of trusting him. I started trusting the news. I started trusting things I was hearing. I started trusting my own strength and my own abilities. And even though things seemed to be happening, there was still like this emptiness. See, when you're out of faith, there's an emptiness. For us believers who have been walking with God, experiencing his presence, enjoying the love of God, and enjoying his company, when you don't have that, you miss it. And even though you may not realize that's what you're missing, you're like, oh, something's out of whack. Well, you're missing God. You're missing his presence. You're missing that pleasing of him that you can sense. For, this is the key now, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. What a concept. So you're saying that faith is coming to God and believing that he exists. Yes. That's pretty much the crux of it. You start there. You start saying, okay, God exists. My God exists. And we all have different pictures of who God is. I mean, we all have, you know, biblical pictures. We all have different stories. Some of us picture seeing Jesus. Some of us picture getting in the lap of the Father. Some of us picture, you know, just being overwhelmed by his presence. However you choose in your heart to approach God, as you approach him because you believe that he is, You're starting the walk of faith. It's that simple. Believing that he is and believing that you can seek him. And then as you do that, it says, and that he is a rewarder. Rewarder, what does that mean? It means that you're getting something, right? When you get a reward, I mean, if I was to give you guys a reward, say, here, thanks for finding my lost dog, and here's a handshake. Well, no, you put a reward up here. It's like, yeah, you know, but here's the handshake. Handshake's much better than the money. That's not a reward, right? Reward is something tangible. He is a rewarder. He's going to give you something tangible in your life. Not going to necessarily be money, but it could be a deeper level of his presence. Could be a greater understanding of his word. Could be a new enlightenment of what it means to be saved. It could be all kinds of things. But you have to realize that he is a rewarder of what? Of those who diligently seek him. And I say persistent in the faith. That's the same thing. Someone who's not giving up. And if you say, oh, Lord, I feel like giving up. You know what I'd say? Lord, I ask you right now to fill me with the opposite of how I feel right now. You can be that bold with him. He likes boldness. You know, when that woman with the issue of blood, we keep going back to her. She was being bold that day. I don't think any of us realize the danger she was in. She's an unclean individual. She wasn't supposed to be around a lot of people. She's crawling on the ground and she gets to the hem of his garment without him even knowing it because of her boldness, because of her deep need that she had. You know what? She was a rewarder of those who diligently sought him because she was rewarded with what? Complete health. 12 years of bleeding stopped in a moment. John 5:4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. What does that mean? Well, it says it. Everyone who is born of God. You've received Jesus as your Lord. You're born of God. You're not born just of the flesh. You're now born of the Spirit. You now have the Spirit of God living in you. And it says everyone who's in that category overcomes the world. Okay. So you're saying that I overcome the world? The world's powers? The world's temptations? The world's desires? The world's failings? My own failings? Yes. And how do you do it? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Wow. Sounds like faith is pretty important. Yeah. I could get in a whole message on where to get faith, but right now we need to determine that we need faith in our lives. And faith is simple trust. The message says it this way, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. I love that. Every one of you here conquers the world's ways. What are the world's ways? Well, it could be anything that's of the world. Anything that is anti-Christ or anti-God conquers it. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. I love that. It brings the world system to our knees. You know, there's many out there who are afraid of what, you know, what might happen in the world. You know, we might be just dominated with a one world government and, you know, who knows what could potentially happen. But this tells me that no matter what happens out there in Christ, we can bring the world to its knees. The world has to bow to the power of God. So how does that appear? We don't know how it appears, but it just means that even though they slay me because of my faith, I overcome the world. Now, wait a minute. You said they just killed you. How do you overcome the world? Well, that's up to God for the results. There's many nations that the missionaries kept going and they kept getting killed and they kept getting killed and they kept getting killed. They just kept going. Another missionary would go and they would finally eventually get killed. But then all of a sudden, you know what ends up happening? And it seems like just a miracle. Revival breaks out there. That innocent blood that was slain is now overcoming that world system. Because because even killing them couldn't cease the power of God working. Amen. Yep. Remind you of this again. I assure you, he will not drag his feet, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? You know, when we think of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to walk this walk of faith, we all have different ideas. And the thing is what we don't want is our own ideas. We don't want someone else's ideas. We want God's ideas for us. I could tell you, guys, I want you to do this and this and this this week, and you're finding the faith. And you go and you do it, and you do it for a while, and you, all of a sudden you're just like, oh, there's no, I can't keep this up. You're trying to do it in your own strength. And you're trying to do what someone else tells you to do to find the faith. Because finding your faith could mean that you just get up early on a morning and you walk out your back door and you sit on your porch and you just take in the beautiful fresh air and you start realizing the goodness of God and you start letting that germinate in your heart and you say, Lord, I give you this day, I give you my life, I cast my day before you and I just ask you to direct my steps. And you know what? That may be more powerful than the 5 steps I could give you. Because it's your faith. It's your faith. It's not my faith. It's not your parents' faith. Those of you that are younger. It's not your kids' faith. Your kids may be totally on fire. And you think, oh, well, our house is good. Well, they're good. It's your faith. You have to find your faith. And then Jesus isn't coming to look for your parents' faith. He's not coming to look for your kid's faith. He's come to look for your faith. So, Lord, right now, we just surrender our hearts to you, Lord, to ask you to reveal to us what we need to do, Lord, in our lives, Lord, to let the faith that you've given us, Lord, to be built up and strengthened, Lord, and established in us. Lord, help us to become people of persistent faith. People that continue in the faith. Lord, I know your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, let your word arise in our hearts. Let the truth of your word arise in our hearts and establish trust and faith in us. Lord, help us not trust in anything of this world. That'll eventually let us down. That'll eventually come to nothing. But help us trust in you, the one that is beyond the world, the one that created the world, the one that created us. Help us put our confidence, Lord, in you. All of our hope in you. So, Lord, that when you return, which may be tomorrow, maybe tonight, maybe in 100 years, we're in a position that you see us in faith. That when you search, that we're one of those that can say, ah, I'm here, Lord. I've been looking. I've been waiting. I've been trusting. Lord, I pray for all of those, Lord, that struggle with their faith right now. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts, Lord, to help them realize that you have put faith in them. It's not something they have to conjure up, Lord. It's a belief in you and a trust in you that you're working in their lives. Heal any wounds of the past that are keeping them from holding on to their faith and continuing to trust you. Heal hearts, Lord. Heal minds, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts that you're touching. Thank you, Lord, for your truth that you reveal in your word. We receive these truths by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with your my new life might be secure. Everything I do done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your Holy Spirit. Make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with your my new life might be secure. Everything I do done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image.
Thessalonians, I believe that you have not failed the test. I believe that every single one here has the ability to continue in the faith, be persistent in the faith, having such a faith that it ignites faith in others. Amen? The world needs to see trust in the living God nowadays. They don't know what to trust in anymore. They can't trust in their own eyes. They can't trust in their own ears. But show them by the life you live that they can trust in an unseen God who's always been there for them, waiting for them to turn and receive His grace in their life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Huh?
Oh.